Jeremiah chapter 23 and from verse 9 to the end of the chapter. Now, I think it's possible that there may be one of two reactions to what I say in this short discourse. I can imagine one reaction. I can imagine people listening to me saying, yes, this is very true, and feeling very warm about it, and I'll use the word smug and arrogant about it. The subject is the lying prophet. Yes, and we know there are lying prophets, but they're all out there. We have no lying prophets. There's no risk of us coming in under this condemnation. This discourse, this passage, encourages us. In fact, it confirms us that we are right, and they, whoever they are wrong. Another reaction could be one of bitter disagreement, I don't know how quite to word it, anger, resentment that a nobody like me should have the audacity even to suggest that there might be anything resembling any hint of the lying prophet anywhere near us. So I can see these two reactions, and both will be wrong. The reaction I want to have, as one who tries to preach and teach and write, my reaction is, Lord, deliver me from any hint or suggestion or any trace of lies being a lying prophet. That is the subject here, the lying prophet. Once again, I admire Jeremiah, the courage of this man to confront the majority of the preachers and teachers in his day, the priests, verse 11, prophet and priest, and to confront them and the people and say, these men are liars. I admire a man like this, the grace of God in a man like this, the Spirit of God in a man like this, to give him the grace and the power, the courage to stand and say such things, and to write them, and to live and die by them. The lying prophet. Well, first of all, we have the true prophet. The true prophet I see in verse 9. Here is Jeremiah. My heart is broken within me. All my bones tremble. I am like a drunken man, like a man overcome by wine because of the Lord and his holy words. Jeremiah is broken by what he sees from God. He knows he has to confront this people, and it breaks him. It makes him afraid, trembling. He's anxious about what he has to say because he's seen such astonishing and to him appalling things. Verse 18, he has truly stood in the counsel of the Lord, and he has seen and heard God's word. He has listened and heard God's word. Verse 21, God had spoken to him. Verse 22, he had stood in the counsel of God, and all he was trying to do was proclaim the words of God to the people to turn them from their ways. Verse 28, he was a man who had God's word, and he spoke it faithfully. And in verse 29, he knew that God's word was like a fire, like a hammer, breaking the rocks in pieces. He was a confronting preacher, prophet, confronting the people with the words of God, and it hurt him, it grieved him, it made him afraid, but he still had to go on, because as he said elsewhere, it was like a fire burning within him. This is the true prophet. But this discourse is about the lying prophet. Verse 11, the lying prophet and priest, godless. The lying prophet and priest, even in my temple, verse 11, God says, I find their wickedness. They bring in the world, even into my temple. Even there I find their wickedness. Verse 13, among the prophets of Samaria, I saw this repulsive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people astray. Verse 14, they were adulterous and living a lie, and so on. They are like Sodom and Gomorrah to me. They spoke, these false prophets and priests, not by scripture. They did not go from God with his word. In verse 16, do not listen to what these prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds and not from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 18, they have not stood in the counsel of the Lord. They have not seen and heard his word. They have not listened and heard his word. Verse 25, they say, I've had a dream. I've dreamed. I've seen this. But they have come not to the people with my word. Verse 26, they are lying prophets. They prophesy the delusions of their own minds. Verse 30, they steal from one another their words. They copy one another. Verse 31, they wag their own tongues. They say it's me, but it's not me, says God. Every man, verse 36, every man's own word becomes his oracle. And so you distort the words of the living God, the Lord Almighty, our God. They claim they're bringing the oracle or the burden of the Lord, but it's their own dreamings. Another characteristic of these lying prophets, their words are always pleasant, always nice. They keep saying, verse 17, to those who despise me, the Lord says you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. Pleasant. They never confront. And yet the word of God is like a hammer, breaking the rocks in pieces. And their preaching, of course, and their teaching, what does it do? They confirm carnality, worldliness, and disobedience amongst the people of God. Verse 13, they prophesied by Baal and so on, and led my people Israel astray. Verse 14, they don't turn anybody from their wickedness, they strengthen the hands of evildoers. So that the people, not just the priests and prophets, are all like Sodom to me. The people of Jerusalem are like Gomorrah. Their teachers have led them there. Verse 15. Because from the prophets of Jerusalem, ungodliness has spread throughout the land. Verse 16. They fill you with false hopes, telling you pleasant things. They prophesy, verse 32, they prophesy false dreams. They tell them and lead my people astray with their reckless lies. And so on. And for this, the judgment will be severe. They cannot hide, verse 24. They can't get away, I shall see them. And the judgment will be, verse 40, everlasting disgrace. Everlasting shame that will not be forgotten, and so on throughout the chapter. Well, as I say, there are several reactions. One reaction will be, yes, I agree with all this, and of course, what are they thinking of? Say, Rome, or Jehovah's Witnesses, and so on. It's all very comfortable. It's 1,000 miles away from us, nothing to do with us. And we can have preaching like that so long as it's them over there, and not us. But my point, my friend, is this. We have to examine ourselves in the light of God's Word. Search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. And I feel this as a preacher myself and a writer. Lord, deliver me from any element of this. I appeal to all who are preachers and teachers. Does that thought cross your mind, my brother? Do you fear that you might in any way mislead the people, misinform them, misdirect them, confirm carnality? I speak to all believers. You're listening to preachers and teachers. What are you listening for? Do you just go to the assembly, open a book, or read the Bible, as it were, without using our mind? Do you just go and listen to a preacher with open mouth and open head? And you don't, you take a Bible to your meeting, do you? What do you take it for? Don't you want to consult? What do you, compare what he is saying and consult Scripture against it? The Bereans did, and they were commended for it, as I see, in Acts 17. But I'm going to come closer to home. When I hear men saying, I'm going to tell you now how to run a church. I'm going to tell you now how to evangelize. And what I'm going to tell you is not scriptural. It's not in the Scripture, but it's common sense. I know it's wrong straight away, my friend. He's gone to the sociology people. He's gone to the psychology department. He's gone to the business departments in the universities. He's read their research. He sees how they reach their clientele. And we will use the same methods. But my friend, we have our book, and it's called the Bible. We have the Gospel, we have the New Covenant, we have the words of Jesus, we have the words of the Apostles, we have the practices of the Apostles. We don't have to guess. The world can't tell us anything of how to spread the Gospel of Christ. The Bible will be its own teacher. God in His Word will speak to us. I say to you, there's a very real risk. I put it at that low level. I say, go further. It is happening. If men are going outside of Scripture, they're bringing in the equivalent of Baal. Another thing of the preaching today. Seems to me that much of the preaching I hear is very comforting. Very warming. I said it's not warming, but it's meant to be warming. It's meant to be confirming of me. And yet I read in the New Testament, Scripture is given for various reasons. Reproof. Rebuke. Correction, instruction, not simply to say I'm right and make me feel warm, although as I say very often it doesn't make me feel warm at all. God's word is meant to confront me, not to confirm me in my carnality. Another thing, is the preaching today building a holy people or a happy people? It's building numbers in many cases. It's building happiness and trap happiness. I'm speaking of the reformed, evangelical, and charismatic world, our world, my friend. Is there any thought of confrontation from God? Does God have a controversy with us? A quarrel with us? Is there anything wrong with us? These false preachers and these false prophets confirm the people in their carnality. And Paul said, he warned us, the time will come when people will say, don't tell us those hard things. Tell us things that we want to hear. They will gather preachers around them who will teach them what their itching ears will want to hear. Is there any risk of that? I think there is. I'm sure there is. Are the preachers trembling? Fearful of what they got to preach and teach? Are they anxious? Do they have any of the spirit of Jesus? If it's possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Is it Scripture, or is it common sense? Is it Scripture, or the university research papers? Is it producing godliness or carnality? Is it pleasant things, or does it ever confront us? Does it ever challenge us and reprove us? I know what I think, my friend. I know what I fear. And I don't think Jeremiah's word is a historical document only. I think it's the living word of God, even to us today. And as Judah, and as Israel, had to suffer the consequences of all this, I fear it will come upon us, unless we reform ourselves and turn back to God. My friends, the lying prophet is not dead. But don't think he's all away somewhere on Mars or Venus. God deliver us. God deliver me from being a false prophet. God deliver us from listening to the lying prophet. May God raise up men of Jeremiah's stamp in our generation who will confront us with his word, and instead of producing carnality, bring conviction of sin to sinners and conversion to Christ for them, and produce a sanctified, godly, holy people to the Lord.